It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlantis Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters here in the 10 o'clock hour, where we take your calls and your questions and we try to pin down when we're going to go into the next big recession, which is the scary, kind of the boogeyman of the stock market, as we all know. So thanks for tuning in here, whether you're out on your back porch with hot coffee, because it's such a cool morning, 45 degrees here and wonderful. Yesterday, and I spend the weekends, because I have a bunch of kids, and as you probably have heard me talk about, it just so happens that they all ended up with boys, and I wanted a daughter so badly. You know, we kept having kids, and it was another son, and then another son, another son. So I ended up with four boys, and that's wonderful. It's a blessing. They all play some sort of sports, obviously, and I coach them in lacrosse. And because of their age, spreading out of their age, so 11 now and 9 and 6 and 2 and a half, A, they're all at different schools, which is a logistic nightmare, and B, they're at different age ranges, so they all play on different teams, even though they might play the same sport. We got one playing football and lacrosse and all these things. Anyway, it's just so when it's August and September and it's 95 degrees and you're out on the turf, it's a long Saturday, and it's honestly not it's really not that fun when it's almost 100 degrees or 115 degrees on the turf. You get a day like yesterday, it was like 70 and overcast and just wonderful. It's just so much fun. Today will be the same. So I'm excited for the fall, as I think so many of you are. So if you are out and about listening, by the way, my favorite quote of the week, Larry Kudlow, the National Economic Council or advisor economically to the President of the United States, said, "This is the growthiest economy in over 20 years, and we will get growthier." And I love Larry Kudlow, and I want to talk about the economy here today, because there's a lot of, and answer a question for the 9 o'clock hour. Hey, Wes, when are we going to go into recession next? I don't know, but I have a pretty darn good idea of where we stand. And if you look at underneath the hood and know that we've got 10 to 12 major economic sub cycles going on at any given time, you can identify where are we in each one of those cycles. You can kind of say, okay, well, we know we're not going to recession in the next year, or even maybe in the year or two, or yes, we're about to go into recession. You can get a good idea of what the economic either tailwind or headwind will be for the foreseeable future. And we've been in a very long economic uptrend, albeit slow until this year. Where do we stand? Do economic uptrends die of old age, or do they not? And I want to get to that today. I also want to answer your calls and your questions. That's why we come in on Sunday morning. It's the fun part. And it's the part that we kind of take a lot of pride in, of being an objective show here on a Sunday morning. A lot of financial shows you hear, you get the same answers over and over and over again. And you may not feel that they're overly objective. We really want to try to give you what we think is the best advice for you, or at least our opinion of that, in any given time. So if you're hanging out in the kitchen reading the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, listening to the radio at the house, or maybe you're in the car headed to play a round of golf, or headed to brunch or church on here on a Sunday morning, or maybe you're finished church at this point, you're driving out, or you're in the parking lot, and you've been talking about an economic problem or a financial or an investment question or problem or concern that you've had in the last couple of weeks or months or this year, and you just haven't gotten closure on it or clarity on it, and you want to get another opinion, then we love to help you with that and give you our objective opinion. You don't have to call and use your name and give every single detail of your life if you're nervous about that. I know it's financial, so there's always the question about that. But just, you know, you can be Bill or Bob or Jim from Tucker, even though that might not be your name. So we're here to help you through that and give you an objective answer, so that maybe you end up, it's a tiebreaker between you and your spouse. Hey, my wife says this and I say that. Wes, which is really the right way to go? And that's exactly what we're going to try to help you with here on a Sunday morning. And also talk about where we are in the recession watch cycle. So phone lines open. Give us a call here in the studio. Ryan Ely standing by to take your call and say, hey, Wes, let's talk to this family and try to help them. The number here is 404-872-0750. Again, 404-872-0750 is the number here in the studio if you live in Georgia. Outside of Georgia, if you're listening in Texas or North Carolina or Michigan or Pennsylvania, California, Washington State, the number here, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Again, 1-800-WSB-TALK, or if you're dialing it, 1-800-972, of course you're dialing it, 972-8255. And we'll go to the phones here in a minute. The next topic here, which I think is just so critical and important, is where are we in this economic cycle? We know that we've been in a strong economy over this past year, a little more than a year. Growth in the 3.5% range for 2018. That's a big deal. Now, after this stock market sell-off in a relatively short period of time, it's kind of hard to feel like everything is sunny and rosy, right? It's kind of like, oh, well, stock market dropped 6% in 2 days or 5% in 2 days. Doesn't sound all that good, doesn't feel all that good. But you and I both know that the stock market is not the economy, and the economy is not the stock market in any given day or week or month or even year. Yes, over long periods of time, they move together, but in these short windows of time, they diverge greatly in many cases. And I think that's exactly what we're seeing here. Terrible stock market a couple of weeks ago, not a whole lot of gain this past week, but the economy is still exceptionally strong. Unemployment is under 4%. It's the lowest since 1969. Wage inflation at a healthy 2.8%. Manufacturing is expanding. U.S. non-manufacturing is at the highest level we've seen since we've been keeping track of U.S. non-manufacturing. Consumer sentiment is still strong. Consumer spending is still strong. And the list goes on and on and on. But so what? Hey, Wes, couldn't that end tomorrow? And couldn't we go back into recession at the drop of a hat? Couldn't that just happen? Not so fast. That's not the way it works. Economic expansions, they just don't get tired and then just stop. There's too many components working at any given time to move a $20 trillion economy forward. They don't just stop because they get tired. Something has to trigger a recession. And it has to be some sort of excess. And the operative word here is excess, or really imbalance. Some sort of excess that gets created and then it has to correct itself. So think about an imbalance. So imbalances, economic imbalances, bubbles. You could also look at these as bubbles. Economic imbalances are the recession spark. Imbalances that then get corrected. For example, in 2006 and 07, overlending by the banks, overborrowing by individuals, excessive credit extended to the wrong borrowers. Those were dramatic imbalances. They were not natural. That created over economic expansion. So the economy got too hot. Then when the imbalances stopped and corrected in the opposite direction, all that excess money and stimulus dry up very quickly. And the economy as a whole went in reverse. Economic expansions, though, don't just die of old age. They die once excess and imbalance and overinvestment, once that corrects. They die when we get tight financial conditions. They die when we get major stock drops or shifts in stock markets, that could be the beginning of a catalyst for something. They die when we get a major shock, like the price of oil spiking to $150 per barrel. Where are we in the current economic cycle, though? That's the question. That's an important question to try to answer and get our arms around. By definition, economic cycles begin at a trough or a low point. Then the cycle comes out of recession, goes into expansion, then it peaks, and then it goes back into another trough. But what we care about now is, when will this current expansion, when will it end? By our lights, and we do a lot of research with the Money Matters team, Ryan Ely's part of that. I'm part of that. We've got several other, we've got a dozen other folks that work on this. You have to look at all the different subcycles, and there's at least a dozen of these, in order to get an overall sense of where we are in the overall macro cycle, the health of the expansion. We'll go through some, we're going to go through some of these subcycles of the economy, give you a sense of what are these components, and then what's the punchline? Well, here's the punchline. We are at the when we look at these cycles, you got to understand, are we at the beginning or the middle or the end or the very end or maybe the late middle? Where are we in these cycles? And I'm going to give you, I'm not going to do baseball analogies and innings, even though it's a wonderful way to look at things because it's the middle of football season. So since it's football season, we're going to use football time. The answer is it is not late. So it's not near the very end of the game that you've been hearing. Oh, well, we've only got another 6 months and then we're going back into recession. I don't believe that. This is not the end of the fourth quarter if we're looking at a football analogy for the economy. This, and we're not near the two-minute warning. From all our indicators, we are in kind of the middle of the third quarter. So we've got some time. Or middle, maybe late, but we're still in the third quarter. Let's call it 5 to 10 minutes before the fourth quarter even begins. We're going to go through some of those cycles. We're going to go to quick weather traffic break, and then we are going to go to the phones, and we're talking recession. So hang on here. You're listening to Money Matters. I'm your host, Wes Moss, right here, News 95.5 AM 750 WSB. Bring the beat in. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. Right to the phones here. We'll go to Samantha in Roswell. Samantha, what's going on? How can I help?
Hi. I have a quick question. At the end of the December, I'm going to have a lump sum of around $20,000.
Wow,
and
cool.
And I'm wondering... Yeah, I'm wondering if it's better to put that all towards my mortgage, or should I put some of it towards my mortgage and some invest it? I'm trying to pay off the house as quickly as possible, so I'm wondering what would be the best option.
Samantha, so a couple of thoughts. A, how old are you? B, how much do you have left on the mortgage? C, are there any taxes involved with the 20, or is that your net after you pay taxes?
I'm 29. I have $260 left on the mortgage. There won't be any taxes. That'll be like
that's the net.
The
$20,000 is the net. And then, do you have any other debt besides the mortgage? Any sort of credit card or anything like that? Student loans?
No, nothing at all.
Wow. So you're in pretty good economic shape here. This is good. So you really just have the mortgage. And how? What's the term on your mortgage? Is it a 30-year, I would suspect?
It's 30 years, and we just got the house, so I've only had it maybe 5 months.
Got it. And then have you been saving a bunch? Do you have an investment account? Do you have 401k? Have you been putting money away for when you're 60 and retired early?
I have a Roth IRA, and then I also have an old 401k that I haven't switched over into my Roth, which I know I need to just because it's just sitting there, not really making any interest. So I do have savings for retirement, probably $30,000 or $40,000.
Good, but it's mostly IRA money, 401k, IRA, what we call qualified money that you can't really touch until you're 59 and a half, correct?
Right, yeah.
So here's what I'd like to see you do. I love happy retirees pay down the mortgage or don't have a mortgage. That's part of the formula for being a happy retiree. The happy retirees are 5 times more likely to pay off their mortgage in the next 5 years than unhappy retirees. From my research, it's kind of a half economic, half psychological fact of getting rid of debt, particularly mortgage debt, which is typically our biggest debt. For you, you're so young that I would rather see you invest that $20,000 in something that is going to be worth $50,000 to $100,000 over the next 20 or 30 years when you get into retirement. And don't just put it all down on the mortgage because it's almost like it'll just go away. You won't feel that you've really done a whole lot with it. Rather, because you're going to now have this kind of a little bit of an economic cushion, you can get to this money, even if you invest it, you can get to it. At least do one extra mortgage payment per year. So if you do the if you pay every 2 weeks versus once a month, you'll pay an extra mortgage payment per year, and that'll really help get rid of the mortgage early. So in my opinion, for your young age, you're already getting started with investing. Invest the $20,000 in a brokerage account and then pay an extra mortgage payment per year now that you have that economic cushion. Love the call. Thank you, Samantha in Roswell. You're listening to Money Matters. More Recession Watch straight ahead.
SB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlantis Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta, Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here on a Sunday morning. So many good calls and questions today, and one that we still have yet to answer, and we're about to do that right now, has to do with really recession watch. Where are we in this economic expansion? How long does it last? How long does it continue on? Where do we go from here? We've been using a football analogy because we're in the middle. It's fall. It feels like fall finally, and we're finally in the middle of football season. So where are we? Well, if I had to give this a time in a game, it's probably middle of the third quarter. We're not in the fourth quarter. We're not at the 2-minute warning. We've got some real time left in this game when it comes to economic expansion. Remember, we talked about before the break that economic expansions don't just stop or die. They die of some sort of imbalance, massive imbalances that then get corrected. And that's when recessions really happen. So where are we and what does this look like in real time? Well, it looks like, and you've heard this, well, probably in 2019 we go into recession. I don't know if I believe that. The consensus says we're going into recession next year because it's already been this long expansion. To me, it doesn't look like that. Doesn't look like 2019. Doesn't look like next year. It's almost 2019, by the way. It looks like beyond even 2020 or beyond. Or maybe even later, maybe even 2021. So here are a couple of the points and why. Well, it's number one, this is the second longest expansion economically. Again, we're not talking about the stock market. We're talking about the economic expansion. This is the second longest expansion time-wise going back to post-World War II. But it's far from the strongest recovery that we've had. That argues, the reason I bring this up is that it argues that we have additional time left in the game. You go back and you look at how much we grew beyond where we started, so how much new GDP was created post the prior recession. You go back to 1949 expansion to 1953, we saw an almost 30% gain in new GDP. If you go back and look at 1982 to 1990, that long expansion, we had a 38% new GDP created. And we, by the way, growing at on an average of 4.3% economic growth or GDP percentage economic growth on average. 1991 to 2001, we grew 42% of new GDP. We grew it over 3.5%. Well, the expansion that we've had since 2009, so it was June of 2009 until effectively where we are today, it's been kind of a mediocre expansion. We've gained about 22% in new GDP, certainly well below the examples that I just cited. And we've averaged 2.2 to 2.3% growth relative to the average expansion has grown at a 4.6% clip. So this expansion is kind of like half, it's really almost like a half speed. Part of the reason we use for so long this 39 mile per hour economy, if you're used to driving at 60 miles an hour and you're forced to slow down to 39 and now drive on the highway for the next 100 miles at 39 miles per hour, that's effectively what the difference here has been relative to what we're used to. I'm used to driving 60, used to driving 3.5% economic growth per year. And then you come down to 1.9 or 2%, it's like slowing down to less than 40 miles an hour. It's frustrating. And that is where we have been until this past year. Now we're back to kind of growing again at 60 miles an hour, maybe even a little more than that, because we're growing at 3.5% plus GDP. At least we are right now. So if you look at the 10 or 12 subcycles, and you've got to look at them both objectively and subjectively, you've got to look at the numbers, and you also have to say, well, okay, here's where we think we are in each one of these cycles. It's again, it's not, it makes it so it's not exactly black and white where we are. Each subcycle, and I'm going to go through these, autos, housing, different examples, they don't move in perfect, predictable patterns. So, of course, it requires looking at the totality of all these areas. Number three, imbalances. Where are they? That's kind of the economic killer that typically creeps up and then brings us back into recession. Where are the imbalances? Well, if you look at each one of these subcycles, there are right now, arguably, there are no massive imbalances or areas of real excess. Could that change? Sure could. But with where we are, these economic cycles or subcycles as a whole still point to us being in the kind of the middle of the third quarter, if it were in a football game. In real time, that looks like the year 2020 or beyond, not 2019, not next year. So let's look at this this is a research point from the Ned Davis Research Group. If you're evaluating the expansion in terms of the total amount of GDP created, new real GDP created, if this were the typical post-war expansion that was 5 years growing at, again, 4.6%, GDP would have increased at over 25%. We're still shy of that right now. So this expansion, again, very mediocre. And if you look at the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 expansions we've had since World War II, this expansion is still very mediocre, coming in at number 6 on the list. Less than half of the powerful 1960s boom and well below the 43% boom that we had in the 1990s. Well, what are these subcycles, Wes? Well, you've got to look at labor. So employment, huge, very important, arguably maybe the most important or a very important piece of the equation. But none of them in themselves are the indicator. It's not just labor or monetary policy or credit cycle or profits for companies or auto industry, the housing industry. Number 7, commercial real estate industry. Number 8, energy. Where are we in the energy cycle? Number 9, capital spending. Number 10, trade and account and current account. Where are we with the current account deficit? Fiscal policy, number 11. And then demographics, number 12. That's 12 separate, really important pieces of the equation to kind of look at as a group and say, where are we in each one of these? Arguably, where are we in late cycle? Again, remember, if it's late cycle, if everything were late cycle, that means we're in the end of the fourth quarter and we're arguably going to go back into recession soon. That's the whole point of this exercise. We look at each one of these and say, if we early, middle, or late, if everything was late, so it looked like housing was at the end of a cycle and labor was at the end of the cycle and autos were at the end of the cycle and fiscal policy, the end of the cycle, and demographics, the end of the cycle, then I could say, okay, looking at all these together, we're pretty late in the game. It means that this whole thing has to unwind at some point soon. And then that means that recession watch is flashing a red light. Hey, here we are. Well, that's not the case. 8 out of the 12 of those sub-cycles are either at a midpoint, kind of call it halftime, or actually even in early stages, call it first or second quarter. A couple of them are late cycle. So we've got, if you look at labor, that's arguably middle to late cycle. Corporate earnings, middle to late cycle. Autos, late cycle. Capital spending, arguably middle to late cycle. But the rest of that list, 8 out of 12 subcycles, we're either at the midpoint or in the really early stages. For example, housing still looks like it's a long, long way from peaking. There's actually a housing shortage right now. And no overbuilding. The shortage will probably not be eliminated anytime soon. That's not something that can just change overnight. It takes a long time to get permits, raise capital, people make the decision, then it takes forever to build something. So if you look at this supply-demand analysis just for housing in itself as one of these important sub-cycles, in 2018, it shows there's a shortage of 1.4 million housing units. We're underbuilt in America. As a result, current economic cycle, much further to go. Now, you might look around in your neighborhood and in Atlanta and say, wow, there seems like a lot of building. Remember, we're looking at the country as a whole here. Yes, this might be might be a whole lot happening here, and there might be a lot happening in Brooklyn, and there might be happening in towns in California or Texas. But as a country as a whole, again, still really early in the housing cycle. Commercial real estate. Let's look at commercial real estate. Very tepid last 2 years in terms of price appreciation for commercial real estate. Occupancy rates are high, but there has not been any, there really hasn't been overbuilding. Again, same thing. You may not look like it here in Atlanta because you see cranes out my window. And it might be not the way here, that might not be the case in Atlanta or New York City, but as a whole, the U.S. has not seen excess in buildings cropping up. Fiscal policy. What about fiscal policy? Again, probably in the pre-midpoint of the cycle. Tax cuts just began in 2018. We've only had 10 months worth of these tax cuts. And we haven't, arguably it takes 2 years for tax cuts to really kick in, sometimes even longer than that. The CBO, the Congressional Budget Office, which is usually very light in undershooting what tax cuts will do, they say that we're going to see expansion from those tax cuts until 2022. If you take a look at the chart that says that what the CBO is saying, how much are we going to get in additional economic growth because of the tax cuts? That we see additional growth because of them all the way out until 2022. So the tailwind, it's not quite the sugar high that the media may make out and allude to. Like, oh, we get these tax cuts, it's just good for 1 year. Tax cuts, even though they could potentially get repealed, it takes a long time for that to really fully come to fruition. How about demographics? Another important piece of the equation. Well, we're early in the demographic cycle here in the United States. And I love looking at demographics. I think it's one of the most important pieces of the equation because it's kind of the fundamental tide of this economy. I don't know if you remember us talking about the my ratio, but we've talked about this. The my ratio peaked in the year 2000 and 01, coincident with the equity market. Projections show that ratio is continuing to base until the year 2021, and then it turns higher before topping out in the mid-2030s. Remember what the my ratio, it's the ratio of middle-aged folks to younger adults. So M, middle age, over Y, younger adults, or the my ratio. It's a very effective predictor of secular stock market trends, kind of long-term stock market trends. More middle-aged adults in the U.S. versus young adults leads to an acceleration in consumer spending. Think about it. If you're a middle-aged adult, if you're 35 to 45, you're spending a lot more and contributing economically more juice to this economy than you were when you were 22 or 25. And the ratio of the percent of population in that middle age range is actually getting better and better and stronger and stronger. Bottom line on this whole economic picture when Money Matters returns. Good morning. You're listening to Money Matters, quick traffic, weather, right here. Stay tuned for the bottom line on this economic expansion and recession watch here on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. Welcome back to Money Matters here on a Sunday morning. We've been talking about all the different pieces of the equation that make up this complex economy. All the different sub-cycles you really have to look at. Labor and credit and housing, commercial real estate, trade, demographics. What's the bottom line here, Wes? Well, the reason, as I look at the totality, all of these sectors, remember this, economic expansions, they don't die of old age. The totality of the data, it tells me that we're a long way off from heading back into recession. So I think that's good news. If we were in a game of football, we're in the third quarter, not the fourth quarter. Economic, the consensus says that we'll have a recession starting in next year or even early 2020. From everything we're looking at here, we may be looking at a lot longer than that. Later 2020, even 2021. Now, that doesn't mean that all is going to be sunny and rosy and perfect for stocks and stocks are going to go straight up from here. It doesn't mean that. Remember, we still have corrections and rough patches and indigestion, even when the economy is doing fine. So it's not going to be all perfect and sunny and rosy until 2020 or 2021 when the recession finally does come. But it does mean that the economy will be serving as a tailwind for stocks and a buffer for stocks, and we would go through these corrections until the recession winds change. I look at this data every day. So when things start to really unfold or unravel or change direction, or we see an excess and we know the excesses have to get corrected, I'll talk about it. We're going to bring it here to Money Matters. So that's why we'd love you to continue to tune in. How do you do that? Easy to do so, of course, here on WSB Radio on Sunday mornings. If you miss it, you can go to westmoss.com and listen to the radio tab. Or probably even easier, go to iTunes and subscribe to the podcast. If you go into iTunes, a little purple app on your iPhone, you just click, you search for Wes Moss Money Matters and you hit subscribe. And that will show up every Sunday night or Monday morning when we post the show, and you can zip through it. What's happening this week? Well, we get more earnings. It's earnings season. Insurance company Chubb reports. McDonald's reports. Texas Instruments, 3M, Verizon, Lockheed Martin, Caterpillar, United Technologies. And that's just on Tuesday. There's so much happening this week. So stay tuned. And of course, I give updates every morning for Scott Slade's team and Jay Black and the crew at Atlanta Morning News. So tune in to Atlanta Morning News, and we do updates in the 7:25 area, 5:30 in the morning, 7:30 in the morning for updates about this market, this economy, where we head. Enjoy the rest of this wonderful Sunday. It's fall. Enjoy it. Get out there. It's amazing. And thanks for tuning in. If you want to find me and the Money Matters team, easy to do so. Go to WesMoss.com, WesMoss.com. We'll help you with your particular scenario or situation throughout the week. Happy to do so. Stay tuned to the best programming on the planet right here, News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.